I am glad that I am with you today. And in few words, I have to explain what is this technique, which is helping so many people around the world, and which has helped in the past to millions of people. After I went through a course given by my teacher, the results that started coming, it gave me inspiration to go through the words of Buddha also. I was born and brought up in a very staunch, conservative Hindu family, and we had a conditioning of the mind from the very childhood that Buddha is great because he is reincarnation of God Almighty. But his teaching is not good. So never go for the teaching of Buddha. This was the conditioning of the mind. At the age of 31, there was hesitance, but due to some reason, I decided to take a course and give a trial and see what is this teaching of Buddha. And I was amazed. Everything was so scientific. To me, after the practice and after going through the words of Buddha in detail, Buddha was a great super scientist who discovered certain realities and help people to discover the same realities within themselves. A process of truth realization, a process of self-realization, truth pertaining to oneself, within oneself, by oneself, at the experiential level, not merely at the intellectual level. And how does it help? One thing that he discovered, that at the apparent level it looks that we are reacting to outside sensual objects, like some shape or form or color comes in contact with eyes, sound comes in contact with the ear, smell comes in contact with the nose, taste comes in contact with the tongue, something tangible comes in contact with the body, a thought comes in the mind. We are reacting to that. We like it, we dislike it. When we like it, we start generating craving. When we dislike it, we start generating aversion. This was very commonly preached in India by many teachers before Buddha and at the time of Buddha also. Then what was the specialty of Buddha's teaching? He discovered and said that we are not reacting to the outside object. It appears to be so, but actually it is not so. When these outside objects come in contact with the sense door, there is a sensation in the body. That sensation may be pleasant or unpleasant according to the valuation that we give to the outside object. And we react after we have felt the sensation. So we are reacting to the sensation. That was something new, which I had never heard in the tradition in which I was brought up. For him, in his teaching, body sensations play a very important role. He says, nothing can arise in the mind without a sensation on the body. Even if thought arises, there is bound to be a sensation on the body. But the mind is not very sharp, not very sensitive to feel those sensations. The sensations are the root level where we react one way or the other. And if we can't go to that root level, we can't come out of the habit pattern. We keep on trying to rectify things at the surface level of the mind. And at the deep level, the same habit pattern is there, all the time reacting either with craving or with aversion. So the whole technique is to make the mind so sharp that you can feel sensations throughout the body. Not only these gross sensations like pain, pressure, heaviness, this is so simple, but there are very subtle sensations, and one should be able to feel every kind of sensation on the body and everywhere on the body. So to sharpen the mind, the first step he gives, just observe the breath. The whole process is to realize the truth about the mind and matter, the interaction of mind and matter. So sit down comfortably, keep your eyes closed, keep your back and neck straight, and see now what reality is manifesting. Reality pertaining to yourself, reality pertaining to the mind and matter. First reality is the breath coming in, breath going out. Just observe, do nothing. A beginning is made to observe the truth about yourself. Know thyself at the experiential level, not what the books say, the scripture says, not what the guru has said, with the experience. So first reality, breath coming in, going out. Keep on observing. The flow of breath is there, natural flow of the breath. Don't try to interfere with the flow of the breath. Like somebody sitting at the bank of the river is flowing. You do nothing for the flow of the river. It is natural. You are just sitting at the bank and you are observing the flow. So keep the mind here. Just keep on observing the flow of the breath. Don't try to disturb the natural flow. Don't make it a breathing exercise. Don't try to control the breath. There's a different technique altogether, which is called pranayama, where you have a controlled breath. It has its own advantage. But this is totally different from that. You observe the truth as it is. If the breath is long, it's long. If it is short, it is short. Passing through left nostril, right nostril, right nostril. Just observe, do nothing. It looks so simple, you do nothing. Things are happening. Mind is here, just observing it. You are sitting on the bank of the river and you are seeing the flow. What difficulty? But very difficult. When you come to the course, you will find that hardly you observe one or two breaths, the mind is gone somewhere. You realize, oh, I was here to observe the breath, what happened? Again you start. Again the mind wanders away. Many students, new students, initially they get irritated. What sort of mind I am carrying? It can't do this job just observing. What difficulty? Then the guide will say, don't react. Just accept the reality. You keep on accepting the reality of the moment, and from moment to moment, mind has wandered away. And you realize, mind has wandered away. Just accept. My mind has wandered away. All right, breath is still there. Let me try. Again you start. Again the mind wanders away. Like this you keep on training your mind to remain with the reality as it is. First day, little difficulty. Second day, better. By third day, the mind calms down, becomes sharper and sharper. The law of nature is such that if you have one pointed concentration, and that is why he said a small area here, uttarottasya majjapadese, the upper lip, the central part of the upper lip, keep your mind there and keep on observing the breath from this area. Breath touches this area, incoming, outgoing, both. You keep your attention on a small area with the truth. No imagination is allowed. No verbalization is allowed. No visualization is allowed. No imagination, nothing. Not even suggestions, outer suggestion or auto suggestion, as it is. Like a scientist, you keep on observing the truth as it is. By the time one reaches the third day, mind becomes more and more sensitive. It starts feeling some sensation or the other in this area. You are working on a small area continuously, bringing the mind again, mind wanders, you bring again. You are working on this, the mind becomes so sharp. Some biochemical reaction or the other, electromagnetic reaction or the other, constantly this happens. Now the mind is sharp, it feels different kinds of sensation, maybe heat, maybe perspiration, maybe throbbing, pulsing, vibrating, tingling, heaviness, numbness, anything. Just observe. By the time you start working on the fourth day, this is what you call anapana, awareness of the incoming breath, outgoing breath. Now you switch over to the real practice, which is called vipassana. You start your attention from the top of the head and move your attention throughout the body. And you'll find there are sensations everywhere. Normally you feel sensations only when you are sitting for a long time, there is pain, there is pressure. But you find different kinds of sensations are there throughout the body. Just observe. Do nothing. Don't give preference to a particular sensation. Don't have aversion towards another sensation. Just observe. This is what is happening. This is what is happening. Initially you will come across solidified, intensified, gross, unpleasant sensations. But as you keep on observing it equanimously, without reaction, Of course, because of the old habit pattern, you react also, but you soon realize, oh no, I shouldn't react. I just observe. Again, the mind becomes sharper and sharper. And these solidified intentions, they start getting divided, dissected, disintegrated, dissolved. And the entire body, very subtle vibrations throughout the body. This was again a big discovery by this enlightened person. He didn't have any scientific apparatus, but with this insight, he could feel, and then could feel things outside also. And he declares that the entire world is nothing but vibration. Vibration, sabbo, loko, pakampito, mere vibration. The entire physical structure is made of such tiny particles, which he says, kalapa, atoms, such tiny atoms. They are also not solid. They are also vibration. Entire body, and so also the mind, which is depending on the body, is also vibration. What is the purpose? I was just thinking, why I am asked to practice all this in my first course. I was observing breath. Breath is there, so what? What I gain by observing the breath? Of course, it helps me to get the mind concentrated. It helps me to make it sharp, to feel the sensations. But what I gain by these sensations? And then it becomes very clear that the respiration, it looks as if it's a physical function, the breath coming in, going out. But it is strongly related to mind also, and very strongly related to mental impurities. As you are observing, some memory of the past may come, a thought of the future may come, and you start reacting. Anger, aversion, hatred, fear, anything. Whenever you reacted, you notice the breath loses its normality, no more normal. It becomes slightly hard, slightly fast. That impurity is gone. Again, the mind becomes normal. Oh, Buddha wanted us to understand how and where the impurity of the mind arises. Because the whole process is to purify the mind. Purify the mind not just on the surface level. There are many techniques to help to purify the mind at the surface level. But he wants us to go to the root level. So that is why he gives so much importance to the sensations. Breath takes us to a stage where we start feeling sensations, and then we start feeling sensations throughout the body. And these sensations again are strongly related to mind and strongly related to mental impurities. Whenever any impurity arises in the mind, we find there is a sensation in the body. It generates anger. The whole body gets heated up. Tensions get built up. The palpitation increases. And I find myself a very miserable person. What am I doing? So the whole purpose is to reach the stage where the defilement of the mind arises. And because we are ignorant what is happening, we are just working at the surface level of the mind, dealing with the outside object, never try to know what is happening within ourselves. Now, you are feeling what is happening within you. And then you realize, oh, what I am doing? I am harming myself. Then the words of Buddha again become very clear. At the apparent level, it looks that you are miserable because of something undesirable happening outside. Yes, that's also truth, apparent truth. The deep truth is that you are miserable because you have generated some defilement in the mind. The moment you generate any impurity in the mind, the sensation that you experience at that time is very unpleasant. And because unpleasant sensation, you become so miserable. And because you don't know what is happening deep inside, you again react. Say, for example, I have generated anger. Due to some outside something happened, I have generated anger. Such an unpleasant sensation. There is a secretion of chemical, glandular, non-glandular, with the flow of the blood. And this secretion of chemical is so unpleasant. I generate more anger. Apparent level, I am generating anger because of something happening outside. But I am generating anger because of this particular sensation. I generate more anger, more sensation, more anger. A vicious circle starts. And continuously I keep on suffering for hours together. Who is responsible? He says, you are responsible. You are responsible for your misery. And if you have come out of the ignorance and start experiencing what I am doing, then you start coming out of it. Nobody wants to generate misery for oneself. But in spite of that, everybody keeps on generating some misery or the other, some misery or the other. All the time there are sensations on the body due to this reason or that reason. They may be pleasant, they may be unpleasant, they may be neutral. Whenever a pleasant sensation comes, you start generating craving, clinging. Unpleasant sensation, aversion, hatred. And every time, whenever you react, you lose the balance of your mind. You lose the peace of your mind. You lose the harmony of your mind. So first you must go to the depth where when the mind is calm, how peaceful it is, how harmonious it is. And look, by generating an impurity, I harmed myself. Look, I am harming myself. This is how people start coming out of their old habit of misery. Now this misery is not related to only the poor or only to rich. Poor or rich, man or woman, old or young, everyone. Human mind is human mind. Black or white or brown or yellow makes no difference. Human mind is human mind. So misery is universal. Because one does not know what one is doing deep inside, one keeps on generating misery and keeps on multiplying this misery and makes oneself miserable, make others miserable. When I generate a negative emotion, I become miserable. That's very clear with my experience. I can understand. Look, I am generating misery for myself. But I never keep this misery limited to myself. I start throwing on others. The whole atmosphere, when I generate anger, whole atmosphere around me becomes so tense. Anybody who comes in contact with me at that time becomes miserable. What sort of life? What I am doing? And whole life I had been doing like this, making myself miserable, making others miserable. The habit pattern starts changing, not because of the sermons, because of the experience. Often I give example, there is a fireplace and burning charcoals are there. A child, ignorant child, the child feels these are red toys, I better play. And he moves towards that and the mother says, no, this is fire, it will burn you. And he cries. Again he tries to go and mother stops. One time so happens, mother is not there. He's very happy. Now I can play with these toys. He goes and catches and then fire burns and he cries. He may make this mistake once or twice or thrice. Then, because he's experienced, not because mother said so, now he's experienced. It burns. He will never go towards fire nor touch fire. We who call ourselves not ignorant, we are wise people. So we require this experience more times. More and more you experience burning. Oh, look, burning, what I am doing. I'm burning myself. And then the habit pattern changes. No, I don't want to burn myself. I don't want to become miserable. When there is no defilement in the mind, look, so peaceful. I want that stage where I can remain peaceful. I can remain harmonious. By ignorance, I'm doing this. I'm losing my peace. I'm losing my harmony. The habit pattern changes. Importance given to these sensations was something unique in the teaching of Buddha. There were many teachers of spirituality at the time of Buddha, before Buddha. I come from the tradition of the Hindu tradition. I don't blame them. Wonderful. There are so many good things there. But this was missing. So when this is missing, then you are working only on the surface level of the mind. You don't go to the root level of the mind. And he found out you have to work at the root level of the mind. Therefore, you have to work with the sensations that you feel on the body. First, make yourself capable of feeling every kind of sensation in every particle of the body. Not that you feel sensation here and here and here, other places go blind. Then still you have to sharpen your mind. That is why the first process of anapana, to make the mind sharper, more subtle, more sensitive, you can feel everything in the body. And then you understand that how you are reacting to these sensations. It becomes so clear. People come to the courses, quite a few of them. I am addicted to drinking alcohol. I want to come out of it, but I can't come out of it. And I heard that by Vipassana you can come out of it. Please help me. This is the only help. You start working. They start working in the course. I tell them you are not addicted to alcohol. This is the apparent truth. It appears that you are addicted to alcohol. You are addicted to the body sensation that you feel when you take alcohol. It is so pleasant for you. And you again want that sensation. You again want that sensation. You're craving for that sensation, so you take alcohol. So you are addicted not to alcohol, but the body sensations. And here, Buddha gave a technique. You just observe. Observe every sensation that comes up. So this sensation, which is craving for alcohol also, it comes and you're observing. You're not reacting. You remain equanimous. The habit pattern starts changing. You come out of it. No amount of sermon will work, but with experience, people start coming out of it. Very rich people, big business people, although a lot of money, but there are many reasons for them to become miserable. There may be ups and downs in the business. There may be some trouble between the husband and wife, or some other relative, or with the customer. Many times, very rich people, with my own experience also, I have done business and I have seen the pain and pleasure of business with my own experience. What happens? One becomes so depressed. And more you think the cause of your depression, the apparent cause, your depression becomes stronger. Now a way is there. Whenever there is depression in the mind, there is bound to be a sensation on the body, law of nature. When there is depression, just accept the fact. At present, there is depression in my mind. And let me see what sensation in the body. Because you have trained yourself to feel sensations by the technique of anapana and vipassana, you start observing, look, sensation. And you understand that every sensation that arises is not eternal. It arises, passes away, arises, passes away. Let me see how long it lasts. Let me see how long. Your head is coming above the water. A part of your mind is now observing. Other is sinking. The whole body is not sinking now. You are coming out. The depression becomes weaker. You are out of it. My third course or fourth course in India when I came from Burma, a very rich person, a very big multimillionaire, he was in deep depression, tried to commit suicide twice. People saved him. Then somebody said, here is a technique and somebody is brought from Burma. Why not to try there? 10 days. People feel 10 days so difficult. I am such a big businessman, such a big industrialist. For me to spare 10 days, when you are sick, you have to go to hospital. And the doctor says, not 10 days, 1 month you have to be here. You have to be there. So everybody who has got mental problem, and everyone has mental problem. When we keep on deceiving oneself, I am quite healthy. Mentally, there is always some defilement or the other which makes you miserable. So 10 days, ultimately agreed. All right, 10 days I stay there. This is what he did. He worked very honestly, as I told him. And fourth day, started feeling sensations. And during the course also, depression came. Just observe. Accept the fact. Don't go in the details of the depression. Depression is because of my trouble with my wife or with this or that. Nothing doing. Depression as depression. Keep on observing. And keep on observing the sensation that you feel at that time. He was quite fortunate. In one course itself, he was totally out of it. Number of such cases keep coming, either in one course and maybe in two courses, maybe in three courses, they are totally out of it. Because a wonderful solution was found. He found out that we are reacting to these sensations, remaining ignorant that by reacting we are harming ourselves. And if we are aware of the things happening within ourselves, nobody wants to harm oneself. One tries to remain equanimous with everything that is happening. Let me see what happens. Let me see. From moment to moment, you are just aware and equanimous. You are aware and equanimous. The habit pattern starts changing. A challenge was given to me within 3 years when I came from Burma. A great disciple of Mahatma Gandhi, Vinoba Bhave, a very saintly person. Somebody took me to him and we discussed. He says, impossible. There can't be a technique to purify the mind. Mind gets purified only by mercy. How can you expect? For physical body you do exercise, I can understand. For the mind, what kind of exercise? You can control the mind, but to purify the mind. I said, Vinoaji, this has happened to me. I was also previously very doubtful. I had very severe migraine headache and I was a very short-tempered person, a very angry person. And I got very much relief by this technique. And after that, a number of my friends went to the courses and they found the same relief. So I'm sure that this will work. He gave me a challenge. If the hard criminals in the jail, if you can change their habit pattern by this technique, then I will agree the efficacy of this technique. I said, I'm quite new here. Please arrange a course. arrange a course anywhere in the jail, I'll go and teach them. But nothing could be done because the jail manual says you can't stay in the jail during night time, only morning 6 o'clock to evening 6 o'clock. Outsiders have to go out. I didn't agree. Because it is a surgical operation of the mind, something deep-rooted might come, and I have to guide the student. Now do this, now do this. And if I am out and something goes wrong, I am responsible for that. I can't agree. After another 3 years, a secretary of a state government, home secretary, he took the course and he was so excited. This is so scientific and so secular. Our country, our government is secular. So many people of different religions stay here and everybody can practice. When you practice breath, awareness of breath, what sect has got to do? You can't label the breath as a Hindu breath or Muslim breath or Christian or Jewish breath. It's breath. And now when you observe your sensations and your impurity of the mind, anger, hatred, ill will, animosity, you can't say Hindu or Muslim or Christian or Jewish. It's there with everybody. So this is so secular and so scientific, interaction of mind and matter. How things are happening deep inside and how we remain ignorant as to what is happening and we keep on harming ourselves. We keep on justifying that I have to take this action, I have to generate this defilement just to teach a lesson to this person. Otherwise this person would have been exploiting me, this or that. Keep on arguing like that. But we are harming ourselves. When you start experiencing, I am harming myself. So when I explained him that Vinobaji gave me a challenge and you are home secretary, all the jails and prisons are under you, why can't you make just this rule change for me to give 2 courses, 10 days each, and he agreed. 2 courses were given. And there were committees, research committees, 3 research committees to see whether real benefit comes or not. And they continued to work for 6 months, and the result was wonderful. The same thing was taught. Now these prisoners, I asked them, after they have come to the stage where they feel sensations, what sort of thoughts keep coming in your mind? And most of them, all the time, the thought is, when I go out of prison, I will take revenge. That police fellow, he caught me. And that judge or magistrate who gave me this punishment, and that fellow who gave witness against me, I'll go out and kill them. Well, when you are having this kind of thought, now you know vipassana, what sensation you have. And start observing, oh, it's burning. I become so agitated. I become so unhappy. You are harming your own peace and harmony now. You are harming yourself. You may kill that person after 10 years when you are out of the jail. You may kill or may not kill, but you are killing yourself now. What you are doing? Oh yes, what I am doing? What I am doing? Because they started experiencing the misery created by them with this kind of unwholesome thought. Then many of them, they start saying, if I had learned this technique, I would not have committed this mistake. Because according to the words of Buddha, he's very clear, he says, without harming yourself, you can't harm anybody else. Pubbe hanati attanang paccha hanati sopare. First you harm yourself, then you harm others. So nobody wants to harm oneself, and yet one keeps on harming oneself and then harm others. The 5 precepts, don't perform any unwholesome action, physical or vocal, which will disturb peace and harmony of others, which will harm others. This was common, even before Buddha, at the time of Buddha, all the teachings. Throughout the world, all the religions say, live a moral life. Live a life where you don't harm others. Wonderful. But how? How to come out of it? He found out a way how to come out of it. Every time you break your moral life, say you want to kill somebody, every time you kill somebody, you have to generate tremendous amount of anger, hatred, ill will, animosity. Then only you kill somebody. And when you generate that, what is happening? I started harming myself. Harming myself. You steal something not belonging to you. You have to generate tremendous amount of greed. And if you are a good meditator and you experience the peace within, look, my peace is gone. My harmony is gone. What is happening? I lost the balance of my mind. I am misery. I am miserable. Every time you perform any unwholesome action, physical or vocal, you have to generate some defilement or the other in the mind. Sexual misconduct. One cannot have sexual misconduct under generating tremendous amount of passion or lust. And what happens? When you observe, what happens? You are losing the peace. You are losing the harmony. What you are doing? Any action, you speak lie and try to deceive somebody. you speak harsh words and try to harm somebody. Every action, physical or vocal, when you harm somebody, before harming that person, you start harming yourself. Sermons will not help. We keep on saying, people, if I have been listening that, but didn't work. But when I started experiencing, yes, a very short-tempered person on small little things, I flare up, I shout, I become so angry. What am I doing? I'm harming myself. Look, I'm harming myself. And slowly the habit pattern changes. Habit pattern changes only when you go to the depth of the mind where the impurity arises, where it multiplies ignorantly. And you don't know it multiplies, overcomes you. You're overpowered and you don't know what to do. Whatever you do is wrong and you're harming yourself. So go to that depth. That was the teaching of Vipassana. Unless you can feel your sensations and remain equanimous with the sensations, you can't come out of your misery. So you are responsible for your own misery. This does not mean that outside things, we must forget whatever is happening outside. We have to be alert about whatever things. We can't allow anybody that I am a Vipassana meditator, now you can come and cut me like a vegetable, I don't care. Nothing doing. We have to take strong action, but before taking any strong action towards anybody, we have to first examine. Maybe a few seconds, if you are a good meditator of Vipassana, few seconds, this sensation, and I am equanimous. And then I take action. Then it becomes action. It's not a blind reaction. But without knowing when you react, it's blind reaction. And every time this blind reaction, there's an element of negativity in it. And you become miserable. You harm yourself, you harm others. And when there is no negativity, even you take a hard action, you find mind is peaceful. You have love, compassion. When you have love and compassion, it comes only when your mind is pure. At this surface level, you can generate a lot of love, compassion. Think of love, think of compassion, goodwill. Deep inside, there is no love, there is no compassion. So much selfish, so much ego-centered, self-centered. Unless that habit pattern comes out from the root level, you are not out of your misery. So it becomes so clear that for everyone, not only for business people, of course, business people, very important, because in the today's world, the section of the business is an important section. They play the role of the leaders, like the politicians, like the administrators, so also the business people. If they start living in the proper way, they find that the impact goes on others also. Like I noticed in my own factory after taking Vipassana a few courses, I started persuading my workers, my laborers, to go to the course. And a large majority of them went to the courses, 10-day courses. A big change started coming. The relation became so like a family member. We always had our relations like anything happens in somebody's house, somebody has died, I'll go there. As if something has happened in my own family. Some marriage ceremony, I'll go there. We always feel like we are member of the same family. They work also so hard. The production increased. When the production increased, naturally the price goes down, the cost price goes down. More profit, yes, we share with you. According to the procedure in Burma at that time, the business people, the industrialists used to give 15 days bonus out of their profit. And I started giving 1 month, 2 months, 3 months. The other industrialist people, they were very much against me. Oh, this fellow is a red capitalist. The red capitalist, he takes care of... Well, look, the profit comes because of them. They are working hard. And because our relation is so good, no complaint, no question of any strike or anything. Business people, they have to deal with not only their workers in factory, they have to deal with their workers in the office, they have to deal with their customers, they have to deal with so many people outside. And if their mind is full of negativity, the relation will never be good. The mind is out of negativity, then your relation becomes so good. You start influencing people. People like you and all your way of working changes. Your decision making becomes better. When the mind is very agitated with negativity or anything, or even worries, mind agitated, you can't make good decision, you can't make quick decision. Mind always remains all the time, whether this is good, no, that is good, no. And when you make decision, many a times it's a wrong decision. But when the mind is calm, quiet, tranquil and pure, any problem comes, immediately you go to the depth of the problem, you make a decision, it's a quick decision, it's the right decision, so the capacity to work increases, which is very important. when you work more, then naturally you are more successful in your life, whether you are business executive or government executive. Now, government executives, people of secretary level, administrators, they are coming to the courses. Government in India, Maharashtra government and some other governments are giving them leave for 14 days with pay. When you go to Vipassana, yes, you are allowed to go. And a big change starts coming. Their capacity to work increases, good result. Their dealings with the people become so good. So the whole administration starts getting changed. In the business, also the same way, starts changing. And now the rulers are politicians. Very few have started coming. Of course, coming, a number of parliament members have started practicing. A number of ministers are practicing. And those who started practicing, they find a big change in their life, a big change in their life. There is so much corruption, bribery, and all that in the administration. But when some of them, when they come to the courses, one or two courses, then they feel, no, how can I take money? I'm getting my salary, that's all. And a big change comes. At times I have found the wife of an officer comes to me, what you have done to my husband? He used to bring so much money and now he's not bringing anything. I said, wait and see. Whole atmosphere of the house will become so peaceful. That is more important than your luxurious things that you get. Very poor people, below the poverty line, they are coming to the courses. They are coming to the courses, 10 days. Every day they have to work hard to get money. And for 10 days they won't work. Good, come. What they gain? Although they get very small amount of money for their work that they do, which is not sufficient for their livelihood. But even out of that, a big portion goes for drinks, for gambling. So the wife gets only very little. The household suffers. When they come to the courses, after one or two courses, gone, totally gone. All the addiction for gambling or liquor goes away. The housewives come to me and they say, very good, Guruji, you did wonderful. Now every salary, every amount he comes and puts on my hand, and our household is going on so smoothly. And because the capacity of work increases, this person starts getting promotion. More money. So in any way, whether one is a politician, whether one is an ordinary worker, whether one is a businessman, makes no difference. Human being is human being. If you come out of the negative emotion and you have positive emotions only, love, compassion, goodwill, you are a successful person in the life. You can live happily, peacefully within yourself, and you generate vibrations in the atmosphere, peaceful vibrations, harmonious vibration. Anybody comes to meet you at that time, he feels so peaceful. Interpersonal relation becomes so good, life becomes so successful, so peaceful. So that is why I found that it has given me so much benefit in my life, and with the instruction of my teacher, when I came to India in 1969, I started distributing it to different people. Now large number of people around the world, they are practicing it, they are getting results. It's not a question of converting people, out of question. We are not interested to convert people from one organized religion to another organized religion. What you will gain? What anybody will gain by that? Conversion is there, but conversion from misery to happiness, conversion from bondage to liberation, conversion from cruelty to compassion, that is a wonderful conversion, that is necessary. Let a Hindu remain Hindu for the whole life, a Christian, a Jewish, makes no difference. A human being, a good human being. Unless one is not a good human being, how can this person be a good Christian? How can this person be a good Buddhist or a good Hindu or a good Muslim? So the whole teaching of the Buddha, he was not interested in founding any kind of sect. That is why we have now put the entire words of Buddha in CD-ROM, all the commentaries in CD-ROM, 15,000 pages of his own words and 35 pages of the commentaries, 50,000 total. Throughout this, the word Buddhism is missing. He never used this word Buddhism. He never called his disciples Buddhist. His teaching, he says, Dhamma. Dhamma means law of nature, the truth. He teaches truth, the law of nature. And those who follow are called Dhammist, follower of Dhamma. That's all. The word Buddhist came much later. Up till 500 years, we are now making a research. Till 500 years after Buddha, this word was not used by any of his followers. I don't know when it started, how it started. We don't condemn anything, but this is a fact that Buddha never used these words. He was not interested to convert people in a particular organized religion. He was helping people to come out of the misery. This is the way I have come out of the misery. You can also try and you can come out of the misery. That's all. That's the teaching. And in this way, it is now being taught. And people from every religion are coming. Leaders of religions are coming easily. They don't find anything wrong in it. You do physical exercise. Say you do yoga exercise. You don't convert yourself to this religion or that religion. This is exercise to keep the body healthy. Similarly, it's a mental exercise. You practice this, not necessarily to commit yourself to get converted from one religion to another religion. Remain in your religion. Remain, call yourself whatever by name you had been calling. Be a good human being. How to live peacefully and harmoniously within, and how to generate nothing but peace and harmony for the others. This is what attracted me towards Buddha. This is what attracted me towards his teaching. And this is what I find attracts people from different walks of life, from different countries, from different religions. They get the same result. May all of you who have joined here, may find time. People say that I am not charging anything for teaching. Yes, in this tradition, if you start charging, then the whole technique, the whole teaching is devalued. This is invaluable teaching. What money anybody can give for it? Impossible. And if money is charged, then those poor people, very poor, how can they get it? They won't get it. They will miss it. Dhamma is for everyone, rich or poor. So that is why nothing is charged. But I keep saying that you get nothing by giving nothing. You have to pay something. And what you have to pay? 10 valuable days of your invaluable life you have to give. Then only you learn this and you become deeper observing the truth within yourself to come out of your misery. Not to oblige anybody else, to oblige yourself, to help yourself. And once you start helping yourself come out of your misery, naturally you feel like others also should get this wonderful technique and come out of misery. This is not what we call religion with rites or rituals or ceremonies. Let them be there. Let people be happy with their rites, rituals, ceremony. We are not against that. But so far as the technique is concerned, it is non-sectarian. It is pure science of the interaction of mind and matter. Anybody can practice and anybody gets the same result. There is no differentiation. Not that these people from those who call themselves Buddhists will get more benefit or those who call themselves Hindu will not get that benefit. Same benefit will be there. That attracted me towards Buddha and his teaching, and that attracts so many people around the world. So all of you, you have come, pay this price of 10 days and take advantage. All of you may come out of misery, enjoy a real peace, a real harmony. What is your dream for Vipassana? My dream of the spiritual desire is that more and more people take advantage of this wonderful technique and forget that you are getting converted to any religion. This is an exercise, mental exercise. As you perform physical exercises, you keep your body healthy. So this is a mental exercise which will keep your mind healthy. What do you mean by observing your breath? This is the first part of it, to develop your faculty to observe the reality as it is. Don't make it a breathing exercise, you are just observing the breath coming in, going out. And this enables you to feel whatever is happening within the framework of the body. That is why this first exercise of observing the breath. Where in the U.S. can you get this training? Well, there are people who will give you the addresses. There are 5 centers now in US.
6 centers in North America.
Good. They are growing, 90 centers around the world. Every year 2, 3 or 4 keeps on growing. How can being... Hey, really, I can't read. This handwriting is difficult.
How can being focused and concentrated on a task in the midst of activities and staying detached and open in the mind?
Quite. This is the beauty of this. We don't want you to run away from your responsibility. When something has happened, and I say, all right, I go in a corner and meditate, and then I'll deal with this. Not possible. You are in the midst of the situation, open eyes, just for a few seconds. You are so trained that you feel sensations, and you find my mind is equanimous, not reacting. Then whatever you do is action, not a reaction, and it will help you. This requires this training of 10 days. Otherwise, it's so easy. Just observe your breath. Go to a house and keep on observing. And when you get any sensation, observe it. But it doesn't work. Continuity is very important for 10 days, which takes you to that depth.
This is a related question.
Can we start practicing the observation of breath before we can actually come to your course? It doesn't work. Many of my students, out of compassion, they say people can't come for 10 days, so I teach for 3 days and people get benefit. Someone started saying, just 2 hours in the morning, 2 hours in the evening, good enough. Why residential courses? People get benefit, no doubt. Even if you go back home and just observe the breath for some time, it will give you some tranquility. But that is not the aim. You have to go to that depth where you change your habit pattern. And for that 10 days of learning the technique, after that you are your own master. Morning and evening you do this exercise and you get the result. Is the West, the spiritual culture and the business culture are separate from each other. How will Vipassana open the barrier between these cultures? Let the culture be different, so what? Spirituality is the same. Purity of the mind is the same. You may belong to this culture or that culture. What makes the difference? No difference. These are artificial differences which are made, and we don't say quarrel for that. I have been saying that every religion has got an inner core, essential core, which is spirituality. Live a moral life with a disciplined mind, pure mind, full of love and compassion. Every religion of the world accepts this, every religion of the world preaches this, and this is the greatest common denominator for all the religions. But then there are outer shells. We don't condemn these outer shells, where there are differences. Differences in rites and rituals, celebrations, philosophical beliefs, this, that. Everybody be happy with their own. But don't forget this inner essence, this spirituality. Live a moral life with a disciplined mind, pure mind, full of love, compassion. This is what the teaching is for with Vipassana. You get that ability to live a moral life with love and compassion for others. There are wars raging in the world. How does we find meaning and seek personal peace while one's fellow human beings are? Good question, yes. We can't close our eyes where such things are going on. But what solution? We want peace in the world. Certainly, everyone and every reasonable person will want world peace. But unless there is peace in the mind of individual, how can there be peace in the world? People's mind agitated, and that is why they are generating negative emotion, and all these things are happening. It may take time, but slowly each individual has to come out of this agitation, this war within. The whole forest has withered away, and you want it again to become bloom and again green. You have to give water to the root of every tree, then only the whole forest will become green. It takes time, but as I said, if it starts from the top of the level, these leaders, political leaders, commercial leaders, executives of the administration, if they start taking it, and they have started taking it now, although very few, but they have started, then it will percolate down to the bottom, and the whole world will be peaceful. Children course, young people, what we offer to them. There are children courses. For children, we have only these 3 days anapana, and when they reach the stage of the age of 18 or 20 or so, then they take Vipassana also. But the seed that they get, even with this anapana, is a good seed. We keep on getting results from their parents, from the teachers. The memory becomes very sharp. Their ability to understand the subject becomes very clear. And of course, the base of morality is there. The character building is there from that age. So children courses are very important. And that is why children courses are being given everywhere in the world. Good.
Thank you, Mr.
Be happy.